Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, a team wearing purple and gold won a national championship tonight. There we go.
Everything's portending well into the future. Purple Hope for more W's indeed. In 2020. Yes.
Do you watch college football at all? Do you?
No.
I've already... This is how sick an individual I am. I've already thought of a way to link back to the Lakers regarding LSU winning this game.
Aside from the colors, or was that...
No. It's like a lesson that the Lakers could learn from.
What's that?
Well, so remember Eddie Orgeron was coaching at USC.
Mm-hmm. He's the guy with the crazy voice, right?
Yeah. Go Tigers. You know?
Yeah. That's great.
So he was coaching at USC, and he was seen as not USC enough. So he was their interim when they fired... I think it was Lane Kiffin, or one of the guys that they fired recently, one of the terrible mm-hmm. coaches that they employed. And when he took over, USC played really effing well, mm-hmm. really, really well. And they played a game against UCLA that had they won that game, because I think they beat Stanford that year. Like they went undefeated, if not for the game against UCLA, and lost to UCLA, I think. And after losing to UCLA, that was the excuse that their AD at the time was looking for to get rid of Eddie O. And
because they didn't want him in the first place, but he'd been winning.
Yeah,
and like, needed some sort of justification.
Right. So I always love to tweak USC fans by saying, like, you know, your AD was probably rooting for UCLA in that game. And yeah. Well, you know, the thing I was going to bring this back to was that, like, USC, we talked about a couple shows ago, or last show, you and I talked about Lakers exceptionalism and the pejorative version of Lakers exceptionalism, when there's the line of thinking that in order to be successful with the Lakers, you have to have previously been employed by the Lakers in some other way, shape, or form. USC was thinking that same thing with Eddie Orgeron. And we're proven wrong in the moment, right? Because Eddie O was having success back then, and then immediately proven hilariously wrong when he goes to another goes to another program and wins a national championship. And like the lesson I was going to say is like that is the version of exceptionalism that the Lakers have to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, I mean those are the types of things. Lakers have had some, you know, talent walking through here a few different times, but remarkably, we've ended up in a pretty wonderful place, mm-hmm. despite all of that. And yes, hopefully we don't have our own Eddie O moments. It's been rough the last few years, but it sure feels like we're on the right track, man.
Yeah, they definitely don't have an Eddie O kind of hilarious failure. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, like, obviously they had, like, Pat Riley getting away and then having the success that he had or whatever, but they had success with Pat Riley. They reaped the rewards of Pat Riley and whatever, but
sometimes things run their course too, right? Yeah, like Riley was ready to move on. Lakers were ready to move on. Like, we got, I think, four titles out of that, so mm-hmm. all good.
Yeah, this one with USC, though, was like, they just shot themselves squarely in the foot with a shotgun. 12-gauge square to the big toe. That's not actually what we're going to talk about tonight. The Lakers did play a game. They beat Cleveland 128-99. They kind of effed around a bunch in the first quarter-ish and then kind of really stepped on the gas, scored 81 points in the second half, and really took care of business. It's not the kind of game that I really want to spend an entire segment on, though. I do want to spend quite a bit of time on Kyle Kuzma. I think it's a really fascinating thing that we're kind of seeing going on here with him. And we've seen every kind of point that needs to be made when talking about Kyle Kuzma over the last three games, right? So we're going to talk about Kuzma and his play, especially over the weekend, and then kind of what we saw from him last night. And then finally, in the third segment, I want to have a conversation about Rob Pelinka now that he is going to be the Lakers president of basketball operations for, it looks like, the foreseeable future. So Kuzma, over the weekend, in one game, scores 21 points in the first half against Dallas. The next game scores 36 points against OKC in a game where LeBron and AD didn't play, and the Lakers, they won both games, right? So this isn't just looting in a riot where there's a ton of garbage time, whatever. This is legitimate production in games where the Lakers played well. And then follows that up, LeBron comes back, Kuzma plays against Cleveland and goes 5 of 13 for 11 points. Mm-hmm. Now, points aren't the end-all and be-all, but for Kuzma specifically, I think it's his scoring that is what people really need from him, kind of the mm-hmm. third or fourth score for the Lakers. That's kind of what I'm focusing on here. Let's start by figuring out whether the Lakers can do something to harness the Kyle Kuzma we saw from over the weekend.
Yeah, it's tough because his role is so different with AD out specifically, that this was really the first game where he did not score particularly well with Anthony Davis out. But Vogel alluded to this, like giving him the ball a little more, having him run more in the way of ball screens. Defenses are often in drop coverages in the NBA where the big hangs back in the paint and they kind of give up those mid-range mm-hmm. pull-ups and floaters. And those are shots that Kyle Kuzma is one of the few players in the NBA where he's good enough at those to where, like, that's a good shot for your possession, right? Like, he's going to make over 1 point per possession on those types of shots. Last time I checked, he was in the 94th percentile in the NBA or something. Well above like what your average half court possession yields. So I think that's something that they can do more often. I've noticed that I'd have to look at the numbers on this, but he does better when the Lakers are five out, like when there's more spacing involved. And he's kind of like filling one of those roles of spacing the floor. That lineup we saw on Christmas at the end of the second quarter, where it's him, LeBron, and AD, along with Danny Green and KCP. That lineup's been really good in all their minutes this year. Mm-hmm. That seems to be more of a natural fit. I can't help but wonder the effect of Rondo being out. The ball moves a lot better mm-hmm. in those instances. He was really cold in that first quarter tonight, and then I think finished the game like 5 for 7, right? So he was bad in that first quarter, hit the buzzer beater to end it, and then kind of got back on track. So I don't know. I'd like to see him get more touches. That's the simple answer.
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of laugh whenever Kuzma is asked to take more than 3 dribbles. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, he dribbles like he doesn't have fingers. but I will say he has pretty good instincts, and he has especially good instincts when the play is so simple as, oh, they're in drop coverage, I get to shoot now? Good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's – I would agree with you in terms of that. Let's take a quick second, though, and I want to pick up the conversation with kind of the flip side of this conversation being, is it a thing where they're looking to harness anything so much as is he just going to be inconsistent, right? Is this just going to be the case here with him? So let's come back to that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Echelon. I was actually, you know, it's 2020. I'm a little more around than I would like to be. I was going to look into getting myself any kind of fitness equipment because, well, you know, I need it. And so I was doing some research and stuff, and I'm not even kidding. One of the things that came up here was, all right, well, everybody's heard about the Peloton and their super annoying commercials, and for some reason everybody has to put them in front of their biggest window in their house. Echelon rates just as well and is a significant amount cheaper. And so that was the direction that I was going to go in. And then lo and behold, literally this morning, I got an email from our salesperson. And yeah, I am here to talk about Echelon. So I can't wait to get underway in working out with Echelon's product. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the cost of a Peloton. If you go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of that exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Today's show is also brought to you by the Arizona Board of Tourism. As I'm recording this tonight, I took Jen out and I took Avery out for dinner to go catch some of both the LSU Clemson game and then the Laker game, obviously. And while we were out there, it was like I could see my breath. It was way too cold. And I was thinking to myself, well, where would I like to go that would be a little warmer? And hey, here I am to tell you about Arizona. For spring training, again, 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75 degree temperatures. The Astros are no longer going to be allowed to tape you in every second that you're out there. It's a perfect vacation, in my opinion, unless you're, you know, into that kind of a thing. I cannot stress enough how cool a trip it is to go out there and check out Major League Baseball teams in spring training. You get to see a snapshot of the future of your favorite franchise. You get to do that around a whole bunch of other people who are just insanely passionate about football. You leave the games and then you go out to a restaurant. And you can still feel that same kind of vibe where everybody's just excitedly talking about the additions their team made. And then if you aren't even into baseball, they have something for you there too. They got golf, casinos, any kind of entertainment that you could possibly ask for. Great food scene, bar scene, all that stuff. Stuff for the kids too. So again, check out visitarizona.com/springtraining. Again, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining. So the reason in the first segment I said that we've gotten kind of all of the points or every version of Kuzma over the last three games is you had the explosion of scoring in Dallas, right? And then I think he finished with, what, 26 in that game?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so he finishes, so he goes for 21 points and looks, you know, I can always tell when Rondo is playing well or when Kuzma is playing well, because my mentions are just constantly, hey,
what now, hater?
What's going on over here? Especially sure. From Christian. So he looks incredible in that game and then just kind of fades away. And then in the OKC game, I thought looked good from start to finish. And then in this game and in last night's game, like you said, starts slow and then does what he could to kind of salvage an okay performance. Finished. I think what's important to point out here in this game, even while his shot wasn't necessarily there, finishes the game with a plus 10. Like the plus minus with him, I think somebody said that he's one of the higher net rating guys on the team, especially alongside LeBron and AD.
Right. Yeah.
It makes sense. He's somebody that the defenses have to respect.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's an extra bucket getter on the perimeter when we really only have LeBron that fits that description.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start thinking more and more about like team specific, you know, how to beat the Clippers, not to be a good team, right? But like, how do we beat the Clippers? How do we beat the Bucks? Mm-hmm. Right. Like looking at the roster through that sort of lens, because this team is beating anybody else, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how they've got a matchup against Houston coming up. They'll play Philly coming up soon. I really think that you've got that top three. And so Kuzma's fit within those instances against those two teams will be interesting to get in more and more as we get kind of closer to the trade deadline and beyond that.
I think the way to beat the Clippers is just to let those guys fight each other, right?
Let them just wait.
Yeah, just let Doc Rivers keep talking. And
sure.
So I guess the question that I kind of teased heading into the segment was, is this something that the Lakers can have? We know that it's something they can have an impact on, but is that impact going to be greater than it is just him being young and inconsistent? Is there anything that the Lakers can do to just get over Kyle Kuzma being relatively young on this team?
Like I said, man, give him the ball, give him more touches. You know, like this is something I'm really curious if they upgrade from Rondo, if Collison signs, does that impact Kuz and to what degree? But I think there's been a productive player that's hiding in there, but he also very much has, with that trade deadline coming up, he's had this kind of month period of time where he's like, because he hasn't like totally fit in yet, mm-hmm. which is something that you were saying was, you know, something to look out for, and it's played out that way. I don't think he's beyond hope. It's not like something where you watch that and like, oh yeah, that's never going to work. But Like, this is the last time, the trade deadline, that we can really make big adjustments to this team. Hopefully Collison comes in free agency. Maybe that's a day or two after the trade deadline. But, like, we got to know in the next 3 weeks or so now whether or not Kuz fits and to proceed accordingly from there.
I wish there was a way to convince Collison to come to the Lakers sooner.
Yeah.
Because, like, it would suck to make this decision regarding Kuzma before we ever see him play with a non-Rajon Rondo point guard.
Right.
So that would be kind of a bummer.
I would like to think that these types of things are figured out and decided a little before the trade deadline, so the Lakers mm-hmm. can go into it like that, because we don't want, you know, it's one thing to do this for Kawhi. It's another thing to be like, gee, we hope Collison signs, and be like, oh, right. We didn't trade for a point guard because we thought we had a shot at Collison. It's just, we can't do that, right? So yeah. If it's the day before the trade deadline or the week before or whatever, and we need to start pulling the trigger, because we're not going to be the only team that's looking to upgrade yeah. amongst us and Clippers and Milwaukee and all that. We need to know by around then, or proceed as though he's not coming and pursue a point guard.
Did you notice the Pistons are now giving Rose like 30 minutes a game?
Yeah, he's been leading that offense for a while now with Blake Griffin out. But yes, he's definitely
up seems that to trade be, value.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's turn those second rounders into first.
That's right.
I do my thing with Kuzma. I hate having conversations like this, because I am, not only are we outsiders, but I'm even more of an outsider. I've never been around the team before. I can only kind of gauge this from watching through the TV. But his interactions with the veteran teammates on this team are kind of weird. Little weird.
He doesn't really have peers on this team.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of veterans, a lot of guys who've been around for a long time, and then a lot of really young Talen Horton-Tucker, Kostas, yeah. you know, those K-Cock type guys who are up and down, right? The only guy who's like his age really is Caruso, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Quinn Cook's a couple years older than him. Quinn Cook's also like a different kind of guy. Like, it's very different in terms of the, like, who does Kuzma
hang out? Kuzma is as normal as it gets, as evidence has here.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What I mean is Quinn Cook is a different type of guy than Kyle Kuzma. Yeah. Like, I could see
maybe
they don't hang out on outside. Like,
yeah.
So, like, that's what I wonder is, like, who does Kuz hang out with, like, yeah. on the team? And I don't have any, like, real obvious answers to that.
So are you seeing what I'm seeing a little bit then?
Like, yeah, it's, like, it seems more business from Kuzma
yeah.
this year. Like, we'd be remiss to not mention that Kuz has gotten a good deal better on the defensive end and mm-hmm. is not embarrassing himself nearly as often.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do see what you're talking about in that, like, it's just a different dynamic, and it should be. He's not around a bunch of other young yeah. guys in their early 20s. But I do think that that's both on the court and off the court a big adjustment for him.
Yeah, I only point that out because, like, that's the kind of thing. Again, I hate saying this because it's so intangible. It's so unprovable. But some of his approach to this, and it might just be confirmation bias on my point here, on my part, but some of the chemistry that I see from him seems like a guy who's preparing himself to leave anyway, like kind of keep everybody at arm's distance and whatever. And now look, like, he had an interaction with Danny Green tonight that was pretty funny when Green was going down for a layup and he had, like, Kuz behind him, and Kuz kind of gave him a hard time and they were kind of laughing about it. And then, like, you know, this is the thing that stands out when you are potentially looking for this. But he had an exchange with JaVale McGee where mm-hmm. Kuz committed a charge and JaVale was, like, on the wrong – he wasn't in the proper dunker spot, and because JaVale was in the wrong spot, Love was able to slide over and get that charge, and they kind of snap back and forth at each other. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen anyway, but I couldn't help but notice, like, okay, it just – something doesn't quite feel right there, and for somebody who has been at the middle of trade talks basically since the season started, and especially over the last month – like, I can't help but wonder if there's a bit of a coping mechanism thing going on there.
Yeah, I think part of it is veterans trying to break some bad habits or break some, like, you know, you need to be able to make this read.
Yeah.
You're a scorer. You need to be able to make this lob to JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that was the right play on mm-hmm. that play. And JaVale's absolutely right. And it's not like a bunch of other kids on the floor who don't know how it's supposed to go either. Mm-hmm. Like Kuz is a guy who's always... He was like the leader of the young guys when the young guys, other young guys were around in terms of, and he was the most outspoken and vocal. And a lot of times somebody who likes being a leader does not like being told what to do.
Yeah.
And doesn't like being like the, you know, like he's always struck me as kind of a, sometimes like a teenager will really want to be 30, you know what I mean? And they'll want to be respected for their maturity and like, and there's nothing like it's admirable, right? Like mm-hmm. you want to be perceived as having your act together, but like the fact is like, no, you're 16 and like you got to be 16, and sometimes the 25-year-old is gonna put the 16-year-old in their place by telling them what's up, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically what's happening here. You got a bunch of guys around 30 years old who've been through all these wars in the NBA who are telling this kid who has not played winning basketball before or on a winning team, no, this is what you need to be doing, and every little mistake we're gonna be on you for it. And Kuz also has the self-confidence to snap back and say his point, but
yeah, he was basically going down the court yelling at like, relax, dude, relax. And right. I was like, that's not the response.
It's JaVale's right. It's I'll get you next time. And there was a play at the end of the game. He was about half a beat late on it, but Cleveland's bad enough to where it doesn't matter. Where he came off of a Dwight down screen and caught it, and both defenders came to Kuz, and so he lobbed it up to Dwight for the dunk. He almost missed that read, but it was similar to the type of play, and it was like, Kuz, that's what you need to be doing, not the relax.
Yeah, you could actually see the oh shit, like the oh shit bubble when he saw the lob. He's like, oh god, sorry.
Yes,
it was great. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Rob Pelinka. I do want to, like, the Lakers have won, what, nine straight here?
Straight, ho-hum.
Yeah, I think the stat right now, the stat that made me laugh after the game was that they have not at any point this year won only one game in a row.
Right. It's all been winning streaks. Like seven-plus game winning streaks every time they win.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty good team we happen to root for and cover. But when we come back, I want to talk about Rob Pelinka's extension here. I didn't get to talk about it much over the weekend, and it's the conversation that I kind of want to bounce as an idea off of Pete here. So hang tight. We'll come back to that here in a bit. So over the weekend, it was announced that Rob Pelinka was promoted to Vice President of Basketball Operations. I really wish, I will believe this to the day I die, that they made Magic Johnson the President of Basketball Operations after Jim Buss was Vice President of Basketball Operations. And that was like one final kind of tweak, you know, one final like little twist of the knife. I really wish they would have made Rob Pelinka like supreme leader of basketball operations. Like just one final, like one, like, cause they haven't really had an actual FU to Magic, and like they, nobody would ever expect that.
They're not going to,
they would never do that. But just from my standpoint, like at being the petty person that I am, it would have been funny if they would have made like, it would have been like president, but bigger of basketball operations.
Right.
They make him though vice president of basketball operations. They extend his contract. We didn't get any specifics as to how long he was going to be, or he is now extended through to. I think Woj did report that his previous contract was up in 2022, if I have that right. So Pete, I'm just going to ask you, how did you take the news? How did you feel about it as it was announced? Was it just one of those things like, yeah, I guess that makes sense?
No, it was notable to me, man. It was, I think it was a thank you is what I think it was. The turmoil seems like a long time ago, man. And on top of that, there were, for whatever it's worth, and it certainly wasn't just you and I, but there are a lot of people that were like, nah, this dude ain't it, right? And we were certainly two of those people. Mm-hmm. It, in large part, and again, it was an argument from ignorance in the respect that he was unproven. We don't know who Rob Pelinka is, so why are we going to go with this guy that we don't know?
There were also
Lakers. Yeah, we're the freaking Lakers. Go get one of those guys, right? And so the thing that could save all of it is like, well, what if Palenka is really good without Magic's influence?
Yeah.
So far, so good on that front, right? Mm-hmm. We have had a couple of missteps, but this roster fits so well together, man. And like, they could have gone sideways on the role players that they signed on several different directions. And yes, they need something better than Rondo, but in waiting for Kawhi, there weren't other shot creator type guys there.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed this gets addressed before, because like a solid A for me, for Palenka, gets knocked down to a B if that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. but there's still time. And I do think that they are very much aware that that's an issue and they need to address it. So I think it was just a thank you for riding the ship, man. Just a thank you for leading us and getting us out of where we were and making what was only 6 months ago feel like a really long time ago.
Yeah. I guess me being the pessimist I am, I'm not really sure he's so I'm actually going to write about this for Silver Screen and Roll tonight. And I'm not going to lie, Pete, I'm using you for my column. I'm trying to bounce this idea and like formulate this idea for my column, through this podcast. But
okay.
I'm trying. So the points that I'm kind of held up on here is that if it's just in a vacuum, right? If you're just looking at it in a vacuum and you're saying this guy, played a central role in landing LeBron James, even though he wasn't the guy, right? The guy is supposedly Magic Johnson is the guy. But if we and if we eliminate all the outside noise, that's why I'm saying in a vacuum. But like this guy was around when they landed LeBron James and traded for Anthony Davis. Right then and there, he deserves an extension, period. Done, right? Like he deserves to be made vice president of basketball operations. He deserves a thank you and all that. The thing is, though, like it didn't happen in a vacuum. I don't know how much Palenka had to do with getting LeBron James. I don't know how well he handled trading for Anthony Davis, right? And so that's kind of one of the starting points here. And then, yeah, I would say there are some holes here on this roster that could you have extended and thanked him after he filled those holes? Like, is he going anywhere if you don't?
I mean, what do we have to like stretch him if he doesn't? It's not like he, you know, gets charged against the salary cap or anything, right? Like, I mean, they can always fire him if he doesn't end up doing a good job going forward. Like,
we also know how reluctant Genie is to fire people, though.
That's true, but I mean, the one person that she's had in that position for long enough to be fired, she fired in Jim Buss. Obviously, way more dynamics there than just him not
being great. That was a totally straightforward situation.
God, that all feels so long ago. I do not miss. It's just we're watching an awesome basketball team. None of the BS. It's great.
I also say a quick side note? This is how petty I am. I'm like enjoying the fact that Mitch goes to Charlotte and isn't apparently that good out there either.
Charlotte's fun. They certainly don't have a lot of talent on that roster, which is primarily his job. But those pieces do fit together. They're a 35-ish win team that on papers looks like a 20 or 25 win team.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have a little soft spot for Charlotte. I'm watching way more like general NBA now that I'm doing the athletic pieces.
NBA hipster.
Yeah. I know. Got to find my team. No one else knows about it. Low key. Awesome. You know,
I mean it more from the standpoint of like we talked earlier about guys who got away and mm-hmm. when Mitch and Jim were, you know, kind of ushered out the door. My one concern there was, well, what if Mitch was actually really good at his job and Jim was holding him back?
Sure.
And I'm happy that, you know, that hasn't proven itself to be 1,000,000% the case. That's more what I meant.
And we may be in the midst of maybe Rob Palenka is
the opposite of
job
that.
And it's Magic who is holding him back, right? Yeah. Like there's an argument to be made for that. So certainly has worked out in our favor.
Yeah. But So you're cool with the extension. You're cool with obviously you're cool with the thank you. I also think one thing that has to be pointed out here, I don't think this gets done without some kind of acknowledgement from LeBron, acknowledgement from AD. Like, the Lakers did their homework, I would imagine, on this. And the fact that Pelinka has developed a rapport with that camp, that is vastly more important than, you know, anything else that they could be able to get on the open market if they didn't extend him.
I mean, clutch deciding to put down roots in Los Angeles would be really important for this organization.
Yeah.
Right. And it's an embracing of kind of this new NBA. One of the things I've been thinking about lately with that is, I don't know if you remember, teams used to have like 5-year plans, right? Where it'd be like, all right, we're going to draft the first couple and kind of, you know, build this young core. We were talking like this the last several years. Right. Yep. And the contract lengths, even dictated by the rules, and players are so incentivized to be like, oh, you're in your seventh year. Like, AD's probably not going to sign a full 5-year deal because he'll get a raise in a couple of years when he gets to the 10-year limit, right? And the salary cap's higher.
They're getting ready for him to sign a 3-year deal.
Yeah, right. That's something that is a lot more likely. So somebody who can ally with, you know, powerful movers and shakers that are the people that really formulate this league in LA, right? And that is something that's really powerful going forward. And Clutch is continuing to grow. They're continuing to get more clients. If this is somewhere where they kind of set in roots here, that we can really benefit from that, aside from just LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and the fact that Pelinka has a working relationship, because I don't think every GM in the league would be as comfortable with that as Pelinka appears to be.
Most definitely not.
And that, like, this is the thing that we could go back to Pelinka playing with the Fab Five, in that, like, they all showed up. He was the senior, right? Or he was the upperclassman when they showed up. And he, like, recognized them, like, oh, those are the talented guys. Like, I'm not going to make too much noise here, and I'm going to get along as I go along with those guys. And then, you know, his career over the course of, you know, his time as an agent was very similar, where he kind of understands, all right, here's the super-duper talented people. I'm just going to do whatever I can to make their dreams kind of come true. And here you have him with the Lakers, where it's the same kind of thing, where here's LeBron and here's Rich Paul and here's all of the Clutch gang, and I am going to, do they have these high as hell dreams that they are trying to reach, and I'm just going to see what I can do to make that happen, because that makes my job easier.
I mean, Kobe swears by him.
Yeah.
LeBron, as soon as that extension was announced, quote tweeted that, saying, someone else said, like, he's earned it. And LeBron was like, hell yeah, he has.
Right.
And, you know, when you get the LeBrons and Kobes on your side, like, it doesn't matter what we think, man. If LeBron believes in this dude, like, the ramifications of that really matter. And so, I mean, good one on him. This could not have worked out better for Laker fans, right? Because we went into this great unknown
so far.
This really, yes.
Finish the job is all. Like, that's going to be the crux of my article, is that, like, just finish the job. You've gotten to this point. Now you got a little bit of work left to do. The Lakers hand out, you know, legacies based off of the highest level of success. Oh, and that's 100%. What kind of struck me, is that this was a little early, because they usually do that after the successes.
Absolutely. But again, the ramifications of, for one, putting together a team that fits this year.
Yeah.
Like, if we were the Clippers right now, if we had the Clippers record, the media surrounding the Lakers would be very different. And how much, like right now, Anthony Davis leaving doesn't even seem like a
decent, it doesn't register at all.
Right. And, like, that's an accomplishment. That's not something. Now, you're absolutely right. They need to finish the job, and trying to finish that job for this year. But he's also done some long-term stuff that's going to really, really matter in what this team is going forward.
Yeah. I saw AD in a Bucks jersey, like a jersey swap or whatever, and laughed out loud.
Right.
And, like, you know, if you see Giannis, if a Bucks fan sees Giannis in a Lakers jersey, I don't think they're laughing out loud.
Right.
So
yeah, they're like, we're tired of this crap.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We have another fun show lined up for you guys tomorrow with a few other topics that we weren't able to get to today. So we will talk to you then. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.